This episode is sponsored in part by Shores and Islands Ohio. S&IO embodies the excitement felt from the very first time you visit. Shores and Islands Ohio, it's a sure thing. More information at shoresandislands.com.
Hey, this is James Proffitt. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Lake Effect Podcast. Today, I'm sitting here on Kelly's Island with Kathy Kaufman, and we're going to talk about beach glass. I understand that you have a hobby that has turned into a business.
Yes, I do. It's called Kathy's Wire Art Jewelry, and it's over at Kelly's Island. And I have been in business with the beach glass for 23 years.
And for people that may not know, what is beach glass?
Trash.
What?
Trash. It's broken bottles, beer pop, wine, medicine bottles, anything glass. And back in the day, before the environmental move, that people threw their garbage in the lake.
It sounds dangerous. Don't you cut your fingers up?
No, I've been collecting it for over 60 years, and to this day, I can't believe my mom actually let me pick up broken bottles and glass on the beach, but it's got my business going up with it.
So where do you find this? On the beach?
Yeah, it's on the beach, and you know, a lot of people, and they come into my store, and they're like, hey, when's the best time to look for it? And one of the things I tell them is, it doesn't matter, but whatever beach you go on, and you get down there and you see like 20 people ahead of you with their head down, you don't want to go there because they've already picked it up.
Maybe they lost a contact lens.
I doubt it.
So most people walking slowly along the beach with their head down,
right,
looking for beach glass.
Well, a lot of people too, oh, should we go at low tide? I go, this is Lake Erie. We don't have tides. Well, should we go like early in the morning? No, if you want, you can, but the people, I said, you really need to go after a big storm.
I was going to ask that
because
that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
So why does that matter?
Because it's kicking up the lake and it's, you know, glass is light. So when it comes up on shore, it drops and then the waves go back out.
Okay.
And the best way to really collect it would to be just take your beach blanket and set it on the ground and start digging. Because
oh, really?
It's buried. I mean, the sand comes up and it, you know, everything gets churned under. And so you just keep digging. And just like now with the ice that we have on the shoreline, that ice, it goes down to the bottom of the lake. And then if you get a wind and I call them icebergs, you know, they bring it up on shore.
Right.
When it melts, there could be some findings underneath the ice that picked up from the bottom of the lake.
Okay. When you find beach glass, do you ever... Like, what's it look like? How would you describe it?
There's different colors. I mean, if you've got your common colors are the white, brown, and green. But a lot of the white glass, it was back in World War II, the armed forces, they went to the glass company. There was a chemical that they were using that they needed. And they replaced it with manganese. And manganese in that clear white bottle glass, if it's exposed to the sun, it starts turning purple. Because people get all excited, oh, I found pink, or I found lavender. The longer it sits in the sun, the deeper the color purple
really
come out. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And you find this beach glass. Is it sharp?
Well, if it's sharp, it's not cooked yet. It's freshly broken and thrown in. But usually the good pieces for the jewelry making are frosted and might have a couple...
What's that mean? Well worn?
Yeah, it almost looks like frost.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like opaque.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are the good ones.
What's the rarest color to find?
It would be orange.
Really?
Then red.
Are those extra old or like
what? Yeah, orange. I mean, there wasn't really anything made with the orange. Maybe some like candy dishes or, you know, in the red, there were some, there was a beer company that they had the red bottles. And so they're both rare, but orange is the rarest. Huh. I only got one piece.
Really?
I found
one. What a slacker.
What about marbles? Have you ever found any marbles on the beach?
Yeah, I've found quite a few of them through the years, but for the most part, I have a lot of customers that they, you know, periodically they come into the store and look at it, they're all excited. I got a marble. They found a marble. And so I'll, you know, wrap it for them. And it's special. I mean, you just don't find them, you know, laying around, but they are out there.
So what do you do with the beach glass once you collect it up?
Well, that's what I do with my store. I make jewelry with it. I do wire wrapping and I drill some pieces. And
through the glass?
Yeah. There's a technique.
How does that work?
Well, you have to drill it underwater. And I use a tabletop drill press and a diamond bit drill. And it's got to be underwater. Otherwise, the speed of the drill bit coming down, it will shatter the glass. Hmm. So I got just a little tabletop and I can sit at my desk and drill and wire wrap and take care of the customers.
Now, it seems like people are out searching for this glass that can be kind of hard to find, and especially maybe the rarer colors like you were talking about. Can't you just make your own beach glass with a rock tumbler in a couple hours or a couple days?
People do that.
Really?
And it's not...
Can you tell the difference?
Oh, yeah. I can.
How?
But you can tell, okay, most beach glass is, when it breaks, you go through your stash and you'll see a lot of it is in like a triangle form. It's just the way it happens. But when you have, like in my store, when you have people come in and they show me their earrings that they got in Aruba or whatever... And you got two perfect rectangular pieces of cobalt blue.
Right.
That's
kind of suspicious.
Real suspicious.
You tell them?
No, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Okay. I say, you know, those are beautiful.
Where do you find most of your beach glass?
About 85% of the glass is from Kelly's Island. And people are like, at the beginning when I first started this, I mean, it's gotten so popular, people looking for it, that years ago, you know, they would say, so where'd you find it? What beach did you go? And I'm like, if I tell you it, I have to kill you. And I'm like, no.
Serious stuff here.
I know, I'm sorry. But people that will hear this, they know that this is me, you know. Now with everything, it's just so popular that I tell them on the island, I said, I'm not going to mention beaches because, my God, like 90% of them are private.
Right.
And if I get permission, that's one thing. But you can't have a bunch of the tourists and, you know, visitors walking all over people's property. So I said, okay, think of it this way. The prevailing winds on the island are southwest. So that's the side of the island you might want to scout it out.
Right. And so you said you walk a lot of private beaches because you have permission, the people know you.
A few people, right. You know, have given me permission. But I really and truly, though, I've got so much glass, I haven't really walked the beach in 3 years.
Wow. Not very motivated.
Yeah. I just keep looking at it thinking, oh, my God, I'm never going to run out. So... And people gift me with their beach glass, too. Right. So that's pretty cool.
Now, it looks like you also do something with some other stone that does not look like beach glass.
It's beach stones from the island.
Hmm. What kind of stone?
Like, they're just all different agates and fossils. And it's my friend brought them to me last spring. And she's a rock hound. And... She says, would you be interested in these? And I, oh my God, yes. And what she does, all those stones, for the most part, are from the island. She collects rocks, and then she's got like a tile slicer. She slices them and then polishes them for like 5 weeks. So those that you see there on the table, that's a raw copper that I wrap in, but it's getting ready. I'll oxidize them, put them in the tumbler with some liver sulfur, and they turn black, and then I shine them up and buff them up.
Really? So these stones are actually probably millions of years old.
I would imagine. It's amazing.
Huh. And how long? I'm looking at what looks like a pendant here with a stone that's about maybe an inch and a quarter by an inch wide. How long does it take you to wrap this up to hold it in place?
Well, that one that you have in your hand, that's a new wrap. I've been experimenting this week, so it took me a little bit of time. But usually once I get it down, after I cut the wire, I mean, I've been doing this 23 plus years. What used to take me like 2 hours, because I'm self-taught, still learning. If the wires are cut, I could knock it out in probably 15 minutes.
Did you check YouTube? They have some videos.
That's where I was wire wrapping beach stones, wire wrapping beach glass. But the blue beach glass, though, those aren't new. I mean, I did them back in like September. But that's, you can see how it's frosted.
Right. And it looks like there's a little chip that's less frosted, like it must have gotten chipped. And
that's why it's on the backside.
And how long would you suspect this was in the water?
Oh, it's got to be over 20 years.
Oh, really?
To have that kind of a texture to it.
Huh.
And it depends, you know, on the waves, a sandy beach, a rock beach. It's the waves tumbling it. That's your tumbler.
Your shop here on the island, what can you tell me about this place? Has it been in the same place the whole time? Where are we at?
Okay, I am located one block north of downtown. It's just 500 feet, people. I mean, it's not that far of a walk. And because it's on 144 Division Street. I'm in the back of the house. It's in a studio garage. And I have to laugh because every year this happens. I have people, they come into the store, and I always greet them. You know, hi, have you ever been in here before? Because a lot of people don't know what beach glass is, and I try to give them an explanation. And they look at me and they say, oh, is this new this year? And I said, oh, you finally took your beer goggles off. I says, my God, I've been here 23 years. And
Same spot.
Okay. And I said, now you got grandchildren. And you're like, what do we do with these kids?
Customers that buy the items that you've made here, are they usually younger, older, men, women, a complete mix?
It's mostly, I want to say, the 40-year-old and up.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think it's the kids, everybody, you know, jewelry is so trendy. It's like I should be here, you know, making all kinds of stuff for next season. But I don't know what's going to be. Is it going to be big and chunky, small, petite? You know, that's a lot of wrapping to do and not get it right. So, but I think the older people, they're looking, it's like a souvenir almost for them to take home, where the young people would rather go downtown
and drink a few beers.
Yeah, I think so.
When people come into your shop, if they're kind of interested, do you hear a lot of people's personal beach glass stories?
They will tell me, you know, they'll come up to me and they'll put their hands up and like 6-8 inches. Oh, I got this much, you know, at home in my jar. And I say, you didn't look behind me, have you? They look behind me, my shelving. Oh, my God. You know, because I've got
a lot.
Containers, I mean.
Thousands of pieces?
Oh, easily. I've got stuff in the back of my garage because I ran out of space in my shop, you know. Because I like to have it available to grab it and work with it, but yeah. But, you know, I said that's how it gets started, and that's basically how I got started. For years, I worked in the downtown, you know, the bartending, waiting tables, managing, and after a while, you know, after our youngest graduated, we thought, well, you know, it's time. Let's leave the island and, you know, go to Catawba. And the house, when we were trying to downsize the house, my husband found all my containers of the glass. And it's a small house to begin with. And he's like, what are you going to do with all this? And I went, oh, my God, you can't throw it away. The kids and me, I mean, I'm collecting it all my life. And so, you know, we kind of hit it and the house didn't sell. And I just started playing with the glass. And I don't know if it was electrical wire from his machine shop in the back or what, but I would wrap stuff and I'm going, you know, to work. And people would look at my neck and see a necklace and, oh, where'd you get that? I'm like, I made it. You want to sell it? And this happened more than once. And I thought, you know, I think I'm onto something here.
So the thing got started.
Yeah, self-employed now, 23 years.
If somebody wants to look online and see photos of what you do, where could they find that?
They can find it on Facebook. It's my business page there, and it's Kathy with a C, Kathy's Wire Art Jewelry.
Kathy's Wire Art Jewelry. Mm-hmm. Kathy Kaufman, thank you so much for hanging out with me today and talking about your shop and what you've turned from a hobby 20-something years ago into a business.
Right.
I certainly appreciate it. These are some beautiful items, and hopefully one day I will see you somewhere around the lake.
I will be there.
Thanks for joining me for this edition of the Lake Effect Podcast. I'm your host and producer, James Proffitt. Our executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. To hear more, go to wgte.org/lakeeffect. And I hope to see you somewhere around the lake.
WGTE. Voices around us.
This episode is sponsored in part by Shores and Islands, Ohio. S&IO embodies the excitement felt from the very first time you visit. Shores and Islands, Ohio. It's a sure thing. More information at shoresandislands.com.